Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence, and we know these truths, Lord, they're absolutely vindicated, that Jehovah Elohim himself came down in order to head up the church to bring a bride to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our elder brother in whom our generation started. And we appreciate that, Lord, to be taken from a race down here, an earthly race, to a heavenly race wherein we had our origin. So therefore we know that it'd have to return to that. Being the Alpha, we must come to the Omega, which hope we have sure and steadfast that Christ has already fulfilled that proposition for us. And now death has no hold, but soon all the rest of the bride will come out of the earth, and the others will join, and the ones redeemed here will be changed to make that glorious congregation and convocation at the great wedding supper, when there will be the reincarnation, Lord, and we will see the truth as never before. So we thank you for that, and we pray, Lord, you'll open our eyes further this morning as we study your word, to show that in the accuracy and inerrancy of the vindicated prophet of God, so that we can stand on truth, Lord, and knowing the foundation is such that the winds of and blight of life and all these things can fall upon us, yet our house will not fall, because it's built upon the solid rock revelation of the Word of God by God himself shining into our hearts, that we might know him and the things that are freely of him. We praise you this morning and commend ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I guess we're on number 6 of the Seed of Discrepancy. And last week we took much time, as we usually do, showing you that though the people of the hour to whom a message comes via a messenger do not ever at any time repudiate the actual written word of God that is presented, but deny the true interpretation, having already supplanted any possibility of the reception of truth through creeds and dogmas, which are their present foundation. And of course, if you disrupt the foundation, where's the building? It's gone. If you want a building to collapse in a hurry, you could, have the storms come upon the sand, if that's what your house is built upon. Like in, we see where Brother Branham mentioned that California is the graveyard of preachers, which it certainly is, and you notice it's very famous for its mudslides. Well, you get the mud coming down, the houses are gone. And you see, the thing is, out there, they believed they had the foundation that could take it. Now we find the earthquake in Japan, and we know that Harold Lloyd Wright and different men went over there, and they did a good job at eliminating many possibilities of certain types of earthquake. But now with over there, it's a Kobe, whatever you want to call it, over there in Japan, there's been a big inquiry now as to, hey, did the people really do this right? And we find out it's a lot like was in L.A. when they had the earthquake there, and the big superstructures of the highway came tumbling down. They found that a lot of graft went on. It wasn't built right. And so you have people that just refuse to give up their foundation. And then when the storms blow upon it, and the and it's time for the end time judgment, where they don't even believe that the church is purged, that Israel's purged, and the earth is purged, though they know somewhere in the thinking, and you know, they would sort of know that to a degree. They simply don't take to the truth. Now, as I say, they don't repudiate the Bible. Well, man alive, you go to any church, even the Church of Christ, that absolutely gives the devil the credit for healing when the devil can't heal. Oh, I believe the Bible cover to cover. And then you see even the covers. Oh, yes, they're very religious. Very religious. Now, the Mormons will say, I believe it cover to cover, but we have Joe Smith. Well, bully for them. If you can believe a load of that stuff without any vindication, I'm going to tell you, you'll fall for anything. I mean, just look at it. What's with those guys? I want you to just sit back and let your mind go. To become thoroughly incredulous. You know why? So you'll start thanking God for the fact you've got vindication. You've got something that God himself spoke back to, which is the prophet. And God himself spoke to us through the prophet. Just like Jesus said, my words are not my own. And he was a prophet. So therefore, every other prophet, their words were not their own. And you know what? The devil's word's not his own. Right in the Garden of Eden, he didn't take any word of his own. He took God's word and perverted it. Oh, slick as a whistle. Yeah, the Pied Piper kind of whistle. Get all the rats following them. Sheep aren't going to fall for that kind of nonsense. You better believe that to be the truth. So all right, they got a wrong foundation. They can't receive the true revelation of the Scripture, but they don't deny the Scripture as being there. Now consider Paul the first age messenger. He was absolutely vindicated by God to bring all the Scripture that was allotted to the Gentiles as pertaining to their predestination. He tells you that in Ephesians. Such Scripture to become effective to them through the death and resurrection of Jesus Messiah, Jehovah Messiah, which made the way for God himself to come to Paul and then deliver the truth of the true God to the Gentiles. Now, without the shedding of the blood, there's no way that God could have come to Paul. So we know that when God came to Paul, which of course he not only did at the time of his descent on the road to Damascus, but then later God filled him with a portion of his own spirit. Then when Paul went to Desert Arabia, about 3 years in there, I think Brother Branham said, God himself personally came in the pillar of fire. For Brother Branham said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing. He said, how wonderful. Which is true. So that made a way through Jesus Christ for God himself to come to Paul and then deliver the truth of the true God to the Gentiles. Now, Israel well knew that in Abraham the Gentiles were to be blessed. There's no doubt they knew the Scripture. And they could quote it very fluently. But you notice they had their own idea then, and they've still got their own idea. For in rejecting Messiah, which they plain out of hand did, they substituted Israel for Messiah, as though God would one day raise up from amongst them a leader. And I suppose that's why Israel still wants the atomic bomb and wants every type of fortification and armament she can get. Because she's still got that idea in there of world control, though she's doing it now by the finances. Of course, if you've got the paper, you can buy all the goodies you want to have a war. But you see, they're still missing out on Messiah. Every now and then, they vote somebody in to be Messiah, and of course, he died because he wasn't worth any more in the kettle of dead fish. And dead fish smells, that's about all. Good fertilizer, but that's about all. Going back to the earth. So Israel never did come to the knowledge, and they will not come to the knowledge until Jesus himself appears, and they behold his wounded side in his hands, and they say, we hope it's not what we think it is, but I'm pretty sure it is. And that's when, like Joseph, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good in order to save lives. And I'm here now to help you and take you out of your bondage. So, all right, now remember, God vindicated himself to Paul, then vindicated Paul to the people. And thereby we were given a true word revelation because it was vindicated. God doing his own interpreting or revealing. Now, I don't care if it came by a man or came by a doorpost. And I wouldn't care if God waited in this age to somehow speak from the ether out there, having warned each one of us You better pick up a certain type of radio receiver because I'm going to broadcast to you. What if we couldn't get a receiver? How much better to rely on God's own contract with us? When Israel said, Moses, we don't want to hear God personally any longer, see anything from him. You go up there and you deal with God for us and come back and tell us. And God said, that which they have said, I certainly agree upon. See, God put in their hearts. He put it to such an extent they had to say that. Now, isn't it wonderful to know that God will use a prophet, a vindicated prophet? Now, if he's vindicated, and you've got a place in you for the word, you're going to be thrilled to death with vindication. You don't care about anything else. It's live, die, sink, or swim, and bless God, it ain't dying and it ain't sinking. It's living and swimming. Because we leave here, we've already got this word body or spirit body waiting for us. I've been thinking about that recently, and maybe we'll talk about it. You see just what we come up with. Now, in this last age or last hour, wherein it is according to Matthew 17, that Elijah must truly come and restore all things, and Acts 3, which is the same thing, that God will restore his word by the prophet Elijah, we find the true God coming in the identical manner to the prophet William Branham as he came to Paul. And we made the quote. Vindicating himself to Brother Branham, then vindicating Brother Branham to us, and all for the purpose of the true revelation of Paul's gospel being restored to us. As in the first church age, it had already become fouled. Another God. Another son. Another gospel. And Paul said, the light of the glorious gospel absolutely has to shine in. God himself doing it through a ministry. That's got to happen. And it can only happen at the end time. See, and they blew it back there, but it's still going to happen. Now, according to Revelation 3:14, that's the first verse, unto the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, said the Amen, the beginning creation of God, the faithful and true witness. Now, according to Revelation 3:14, the God of the Amen, or the Omega God. Now, God was the Alpha God at the time of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. At this time, he is the Omega God. Now, Alpha being Omega and Omega being Alpha, you had better believe that there has to be a vindicated prophet with the pillar of fire, or forget it, there is no such thing as an Alpha and Omega principle. Which I've proved to you time after time after time, going through the whole scripture, you cannot get away from it. Now, in plain English, how God sows himself into the people by his spirit, by his word vindication, by whatever manifestation, you've got to have a reproduction of it. And this time the reproduction is going to bring forth all of it, which is all the mysteries, according to Revelation 10 and 7. And we cannot get by it. Now, according then to Revelation 3:14, the God of the Amen, or the Omega God, the God of truth, the only true God. Now, any other declaration other than what we are looking at through vindication is from another God. Now, there is another God, and he's called the God of this world, blinding people's eyes. Notice the difference. God himself shining in. The devil himself blinding. You know, the devil's often pictured like the squid, the octopus. The devil fish, right? That's they call it. You notice how that when he's attacked, he squirts out the ink and hides himself. And so the devil's very cunning at hiding himself behind his creeds and his dogmas, quoting the word all the while. Perverting, sowing seeds of discrepancy in the discrepant ones. So, all right, the only true God, the faithful and true witness, which means God vindicating himself and proving his integrity, proving it is he, proving what is to be brought forth by his vindicated prophet will be of him. Not just something permissive. This is more than permissive. This is a two-edged sword of judgment coming forth. God vindicating himself and proving his integrity, proving who he is, and then delivering his word. And in Revelation 3:20, he contacts one man and one man only and uses him as he used Paul. Now, you cannot get the people to believe, since they've been taught, and this is what they call the plenary or the full edition. You cannot add to it or take from it. You've been given the Holy Ghost to understand it. And now you stand like the Apostle Paul. You have your own definitive revelation because Jesus said you need not any man to teach you. I've got the Holy Ghost, so therefore now it's all completely full and wonderful. Hallelujah. And I don't need anybody. I'm not interested in Elijah. I'm not interested in this, that, and the other thing. Glory to God. I believe the Bible. And they quote it. So did Israel. I'm right to hell doing it. Got a mini great tribulation, 70 AD, where blood ran in the streets. People ate their own children. And they stood there like fools for a cause of death instead of a cause of life. It wasn't sink or swim, it was sink. It wasn't live or die, it was die. Same thing today. You're either going to live or you're going to die, face it. You're either going to sink or going to swim. You don't have a choice other than that. I can't understand everybody, so many people sitting on the fence. And preachers trying to lead people back into Pentecost, sending out papers quoting Bartleman on Reverend Seymour on Azusa Street. And I just read it this morning. And he had the gall to let you know there was no scripture used. To pray, 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 pray. Talking tongues, pray, pray, pray. You can pray and go to hell with your prayers. And I'm telling you flat. You can spin your wheels. What makes anybody think that God has changed? Do you think for 1 minute they'd be Revelation 10 and 7 to be an actual living prophet upon this earth here? Do you believe they hooked that up with Revelation 3:14? By no means, no. They're not going to do that. See? They do not believe for 1 minute that even by vindication, which no man can touch and refute, although in their lives they refute. Some of the people now dying have run around for years saying that Brother Branham got his doctrine from Jolly, the soul mating guy. Brother Branham couldn't go to their meeting. God stopped him. He couldn't go to Latter Rain. God stopped him. But oh, they'll tell you. Oh, yes, brother. Oh, so-and-so said this before Brother Branham. Oh, he got it from this guy. Let me tell you something flat. William Branham understood one God in the face of his pastor, Reverend Davis, a missionary Baptist, and stood against women preachers. Don't tell me he got that from a bunch of Pentecostals. Because Brother Branham was never Jesus only, never believed in soul meeting. Never believed in women preachers. Brother Branham wasn't a two-headed duck or a two-faced duck. But these guys were a bunch of rubber ducks floating on the pond. And their quack was nothing but inflated air. They had no real voice. They had nothing but clamor. So this guy writes this article, and in there you find every single thing that the prophet stood against. From the book of Corinthians, which was confusion. Not denying the book of Corinthians. Not saying that things that were there in principle were sinful. But they used the word of God the same as Satan did to change the truth of God into a lie, even way back there, and it became sinful and exceedingly sinful, and Brother Branham came on the scene to put them right. Now, Brother Paul tried to put them right, and they wouldn't believe it. Brother Branham tried to put them right, and they wouldn't believe it. So do the people believe? The answer is no. Now, they do not deny the word as though they cut it out of their Bibles, but they deny that God is doing what he is vindicating. In a very fuzzy way, neither light nor dark, but lukewarm. They know the works are of God. They can't help but know it because they're doing the same things. But they don't have thus saith the Lord. But they deny the word. Now God is here fulfilling his word. Revealing and fulfilling. To reject the vindicated revelation of the word is to reject God, because that's why he's here with his prophet. The vindication is nothing more than the sign that points you to the bus. And as one fellow said, you don't get on the sign that says to the bus and try to ride it. You smarten up and say, the bus is in that direction, I will go and get on it. The voice of the sign. What is the voice of the true sign? The truly revealed word of Almighty God. So to reject the vindicated revelation of the word is to reject God, because he's only here to reveal and to fulfill his word. To reject God in his word is to reject the true God and receive the lie. Oh no, better still, to receive the liar. The devil was a liar from the beginning. And notice he even used an animal which was intelligent. To reject the true God and receive the lie, for he that is not with me is against me. It's the book of Luke, 11th chapter. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You want me to look in the Bible? Take your Bibles, you got them. Luke 11. I think it's Luke 11. Better be. It's in there somewhere. What verse is it? Oh, let me see. Well, it's kind of hard to find it here. But it's here. Is it? What is it? 23, yeah. That's right, right up here, 22 and 23. Now, I want you to notice, before that you read this, you are actually looking at a replay of Matthew 12, wherein they blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now, tell me how much difference there is between the Church of Christ saying that Brother Branham's ministry was fully of the devil, and that's how he cast out devils and the sick were healed, because the devil heals and God doesn't, or those who reject out of hand the vindicated prophet of the hour and turn down the word of God for their own creeds and dogmas? And the answer is they all end up in the lake of fire. No difference. So here you have this here. This is the Alpha, and Brother Branham brought this to the Omega. Because he said, this is when blasphemy against the Holy Ghost really takes place. When they attribute unto Satan the works of the, unto God, pardon me, attribute unto Satan the works of Almighty God, and referring to his own ministry. Now, was William Branham saying that in order to scare people? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. You cannot scare people out of hell and scare them into heaven. That's the biggest bunch of bunk in the world, because if you're not a sheep, you ain't ever going to get there, and you wouldn't want to get there anyway. And that's proven by the very fact that the devil and his whole bunch come against God to try to destroy him and the holy people. They are not interested. They'd be terribly miserable if they got there, because there's nothing there they desire. So, all right, this is for the end time. And he says, you better be careful here. Now watch, because Jesus came vindicated. And he said, listen, look at those works. Now you take those works and thereby understand that I am that prophet and I am giving you that word of God now. And there's nothing that hasn't been fulfilled by me that's required. Now, if you turn that down, what difference if you simply call it the devil? The fact of the matter is they are calling it of the devil. Because if they don't recognize it of God, then where in the world is it coming from? Oh, Brother Day, little psychology, oh, come on. That's a couple of jackasses that write in the press. How many people are going to stand up and say, this is psychology, this is psychology? Remember the time the fellow in Africa tried to pull in on Brother Branham? The little girl's eyes were cross-eyed, or the boy, whatever it was. And the doctor behind him, he's a Pentecost. He wasn't Pentecost, just the doctor invited him to the platform. He called it psychology. He said, Brother Branham, whirled. He said, doctor, if this is psychology, you come and do the next one. Why, the guy froze. But he did become a Pentecostal preacher, which I don't know that enhances anything. Yeah, I'm just honest with you. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. Now, he says right here, Satan's kingdom is divided the minute that you do not attribute this to God. Now, that's the point we're looking at. I don't care if you say, that's of Satan. Well, I don't know where that's from. I don't know where it's from. That's just something happened. Every 2,000 years we got a phenomenon. I don't know. You're shot. The thing is, recognize. Now, if a baby sheep can't recognize his mama, there's something exceedingly wrong. Because that baby sheep has a peculiar sense of smell that goes to his mama, and the baby sheep has a peculiar smell on him, that the mama goes to him. See, in other words, he can sniff the breeze, and he'll know it's his mama. If he makes a mistake, the other mama push him away. Get out of here, Brant. You don't belong. Now, he says here then, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, taketh away all his armor wherein he trusted, and divides his spoil. Now you take this to the end time when God came on the scene here and spoiled Pentecostal's armor, which is gifts. They negated the giver. Where did it start? By the refusal to recognize the vindicated ministry was God, period. Because you can't separate healing from God any more than you can separate word from God. Because the Rhema Logos God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. God the healer, the God of truth. Okay, now. He that is not with me is against me. The Pentecostals are antichrist. Oh, Brother Dave, don't say that. Well, I just said, what are you going to do? Turn me in? As a hate monger, go ahead. It's on tape. Be my guest. Yeah. It's not only just against. But antichrist means instead of. So now, the Laodicean Pentecostals are papal. Because their whole conference has taken the place of God. And they've become vicars. The Lutherans followed the Catholics who were vicars. They became vicars. Which instead of, vicarious means instead of. Then the Methodists became vicarious. Now the Pentecostals are. But God has proven he stands alone. The same yesterday, today, and forever as he stood with Abraham outside the tent and Sarah in the tent before the promised son coming in flesh the day before the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. I love that. I love it. Gives me strength for the battle. He that is not with me is against me. And he that doesn't gather with me. End time evangelism with this message. He's scattering. How'd you like to have that said to you? If you want to turn to Exodus 32, I'll read it to you. If you don't, it's all right. And in verse 26, we find that Moses, after Israel left Egypt, got into idolatry. Because Moses was off the scene for a while. He was away. Maybe Brother Branham is kind of like Moses. He's away resting somewhere, which God knows he certainly is. Waiting for him to come back. And if it parallels the ministry of Jesus Christ perfectly, he'll come back and tell us the things of the kingdom and various mysteries and things which I'm just happy and hungry to receive. I want him to come back. How he comes back and what he does, I don't care as long as he comes back and he fulfills his role. But Moses is away. Now, during this time, Aaron, the brother, the priest, the Levite, because of the people, saying, well, Moses is gone. What's to happen now? Things can't be in order. This isn't the way things should be. We better do something about it. The Branhamites are returning to Pentecost. We see this every hand. Now, these guys prevailed upon Aaron. So he said, break off your gold, which was to be reserved for the Ark of the Covenant. That's why the Israelites were given favor by the Egyptians. They said, the women said, now if you want to get us out of here, and the men said, if you want to get us out of here that bad, you better make it worth our while. We've been slaves all these years. Give us gold and jewels. And they just loaded them with gold and jewels, and they went out. That's how they got the beautiful gold and all the silver stuff to make the tabernacle wonders and all the everything else there. My, it's just loaded with gold. Now, the people broke off their nose rings and earrings and all this and gave it to this man Aaron. And the strangest thing happened. They said, make us gods to go back to Egypt. Well, if you're going to have gods to go back to Egypt, the god or gods that you have must fit perfectly and be the Egyptian gods, like homing pigeons. Now, Aaron did this peculiar thing. He threw the gold in the fire. It doesn't say even molded it, and you came forth these two calves of gold. Now, you'll notice that at this particular time, death has to strike, the same as at Baal Peor. And you notice that these people turned to idolatry. In the time that Moses was away, and Moses could come back. Haven't you noticed? The Trinitarians have turned from their idolatry to another idolatry, which is Jesus only. And 95% cannot even read anymore. The other day, a nice brother I know down in the Carolinas talked to his former pastor, and he said, Brother Vail is not preaching two gods. He said he is two, and I can show you his tape where he says there's two of them. I am quoting Brother Branham. I ask you a question. How much does this guy really believe this message? I felt in my spirit the day he was going to go off, and he went on. Idolatry. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees, if you'd have known Moses, you would have known me. For Moses spoke of me. I want to ask you a question. How many Israelites knew Moses even then? Huh? None. Everybody over 20 died. Now remember, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, right? So every child that was 20 was born separate from anything that came out of Egypt. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? So here they are. Now, at this time of men forming their own forms of idolatry, throwing their substance into the fire. Let me tell you flat, the devil will sure bring them gods of some type. Now, Moses stands there, and here's my point. Who is on the Lord's side? Now, notice. They had to go back to Moses personally to be on the Lord's side. And who was Moses? A vindicated giver of the word, and that's all. Never mind the stupendous miracles. Forget it. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and prophesy, raise the dead, do miracles. Nothing. Without the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has only one conduit, which is the word which he himself brings. God brings his own raiment. So the living God is living within us in a portion. Well, that's good for a hallelujah. I didn't ask you to do it. I almost said it for you, and I did say it for you. He said, who is on the Lord's side? He stood in the gate. They had to come out. Christ also came out without the gate. On the count of what? The miracles? Forget it. On the count of the word. That's where the foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The true fulfillment of the word of God as to essentiality and also as to conduct and all those other things that are intrinsically there. So, all right, who's on the Lord's side today? Well, who's with William Branham? Oh, don't say that. Well, I just said it, and I'll say it again. Who's with Brother Branham? Who is with this man with the pillar back? Well, you want to bat your eyes, fine by me. Or do what you want. Even roll them in the sawdust. You're going to get hurt, not me. Because the vindication ain't real. Let me tell you something. The imaginations of the wandering mind are far less real. Who is on the Lord's side? They came to Moses in the Word. Now you notice Moses had the Ten Commandments written by God. And he came down and threw them upon the rock and they burst. In other words, the Word of God was in shambles. While Moses was still living, and while Brother Branham still lived, the Word of God was in shambles even then. Because I think he said there's 17 varieties preached here in Tucson alone. How many varieties are there now where men can't even read the Bible? Without even realizing they're reading their Bible this way, there's one mediator between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. Now, Leviel is between himself and Leviel. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know something? The whole world is crazy. And I think the Branhamites are the craziest of all. Because their craze has been compounded. But yet they saw something, so we give them credit there. All right. This leads to, no, this is not the God of truth. This is not the truth. Then what is it? This is the liar and his lie. Oh, no, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Well, you wouldn't? He that is not with me is against me. I wouldn't say I was that for her. Oh, you're like the guy said, she's a little bit pregnant. Not a dirty joke. That was actually said. Is there such a thing as being a little bit pregnant? Is there such a thing as being a white blackbird, a drunk sober person? Is there such a thing as being on the Lord's side, but, oh, not quite. And not quite, but really, yes. Huh? One word. You notice that Brother Branham often used that statement, and it's found in the book of Romans, I forget which chapter, second or third. And Brother Branham doesn't quote it exactly right, but it is exactly right when you get down to the nitty-gritty. He said, let every man's word be a lie, speaking God, but let mine be the truth. The Bible said, every man be a liar, but let God be true. Well, see, and they start batting their eyes. Blinking. How much are you and I on target by blinking and batting our eyeballs? So, all right. Let's just check the scripture out about believing the lie. We go to 2 Thessalonians, which is based on 1 Thessalonians 7-10. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flames of fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished later on with this everlasting destruction and so on. And then it says in the second chapter, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him. And Brother Branham said, that's the message, and that's exactly true. How did Israel get gathered to come out? By a message vindicated. How'd the Lutherans come out? By a message and the power of Almighty God without actual vindication, as Paul had, but they couldn't confute what Luther said. That ye soon not be shaken in mind or troubled, and so on down there. That no man deceive you, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, the son of perdition, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, that's worship. God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You remember when I was with you, I told you these things. You might know what's withholding. It's going to withhold until the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way. And then the wicked one shall be revealed. In other words, he'll come forth in his true colors and be absolutely manifested. Even him who's coming is after, as verse 9, the working of Satan and all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivable unrighteousness in them that perish, that's the worship of Cain, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, an anointing of the Holy Ghost with gifts and manifestation, that they should believe the lie. And what is the lie? Millions now living will never die. And that's as stupid as those who read the Bible and say there's one meteor, and they think it, though they don't say it, the God Christ Jesus. Because oneness and Trinity does the same thing. They don't understand, but they say it. And God sends them the strong delusion. See? They're already deluded. They can't. They cannot take it. And what is it they believe? Millions now living will never die, though they read as it was in the days of Noah, where 8 people got saved. Well, Brother Vail, that could really belong to Jews. 144,000, honey, get saved. What are you trying to stuff me? Let me tell you something, brother, sister. The only reason I'm in this pulpit, and the only reason we are here today, is to attempt to just commiserate, to share our knowledge, to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, to worship Almighty God, and get more and more prepared to get out of here, because you better believe it's all over but the resurrection and the rapture. You better believe it. Because they have believed the lie. Oh, you won't die. They're already dead. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Roaring out their shame. Like the waves of the sea, pounding on the seashore, ending in foam and debris and pollution that you couldn't imagine even in the time of Jesus. How far has the world gone into its sin and degradation? Here we see 2 Thessalonians, which we read, and the chilling results that follow. They gather to the Antichrist, to the devil, reject truth and believe the lie. They believe the lie against the appearing, which is the presence of God upon earth. They reject the truth of Revelation 10:1-7. They reject the truth of Revelation 22:10. And they stagger about, hopeless in their own foundation of unrighteousness. And there's no way they will bring it to the light. Let these chaff people of Laodicea tell you they believe in the Bible as wholly the Word of God, and in themselves they do. But according to truth, they honor God with their lips, and their hearts are far from Him. They are spiritually overcome, so overcome, that they certainly stand with Isaiah chapter 29, 9-16. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry out and cry. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger not with strong drink. For the Lord had poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and closed your eyes, and the prophets your rulers, and seers hath he covered, and all, and the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. They can't read them. Now they stand there and say, this is what it says in Timothy. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You say the Trinitarian Jesus is not God. I beg to differ. Now come on. You're not going to leave this building this morning as though you didn't hear something and you didn't get pinned down. Because you are pinned down. Tell me, can you read it? There is one mediator between God and a man, if there's only one man or a billion. The man, Christ Jesus,
who came exactly as we did. Except what? Heirship equality with God, which we never have and never will have. The vision of the kingdom. The only begotten, the one of a kind, in whom God started his generations. We'll get to that in a second at home. Can't read? They can't read? It says man. Well, doesn't really mean that. Well, then when you go down to the store tomorrow, sister, and you order bananas, you should be prepared to get peaches. As Michener said, once words lose their meaning, the nation is gone, and so is the Bible. Because the people cannot read. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I'm not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, now watch. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouths. This is the Laodicean condition. Wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. But oh, how they draw near to God with their mouths. And the three biggest mouths are tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And the hallelujah glory bit. Hey, that's fine if you really mean it. I'd sooner see some Hannahs who in their despair and leaning toward God, yearning for God to fulfill his word to them, mouthed her words in silence till somebody thought she was drunk. Oh, they thought they're drunk at Pentecost. I mean, there's a parallel there. And with their lips they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Reverential fear and respect and worship toward God is taught through the tenets and creeds and dogmas of men. Therefore, behold, I'll proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? And they'll say, oh, you don't want the real thing. You come with us to the desert. You come to us with the secret room. Let's just go to the book of Acts and find some sweet little thing in here. In the 13th chapter that's going to make you open your eye. We read it different times. And here it is. And it says here, verse 37, we know whom God raised against all no corruption, beating on you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him this man, not God, through this man is preached. And by this man, all things all that believe are justified from all things for which you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses, yet God gave the law. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. Vindicated word. Didn't mean a thing. Just like the prostitutes, committed adultery, didn't mean a thing. Way of doing business, made money. You know, golden calf scheme. Idolatry, prostitution, golden calf scheme. One of these days they'll take this building, the sooner the better. Be a good joke, wouldn't it? On them. They'd have to keep it up. See? Behold, you despise and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your day, a work which shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now Jesus, the man, had already done his work. This is the Omega. So now, as Brother Branham said, God was obligated to do for the Gentiles what he did for the Jews. In that, what God did in through Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now that Jesus is risen from the dead by the Holy Ghost, which means no incarnation of God, he will now do for the Gentiles, and he does it through the prophet Elijah. Do you think they believe that? Why, they laugh and they laugh. They laughed at me for teaching the presence, because the word is parousia in the Greek. So I was hounded because of that. Oh, it isn't right. Now they preach it. But you see, it was Brother Bale's rotten spirit that made us turn. What made him turn again then? I don't understand preachers. I don't ask you to do that. All right. Well, I'll let it go. These people crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh over the Word, not over the ministry of power. As Brother Brown has said, we've seen the Word of God demonstrated, manifested in power, but not in revelation. Oh, brother, sister, that's what I want, because the revelation says, Beloved, behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, drink tonight at the last trump. Now, that's going to be power to do it, but that has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the revelation I've received from God. Truth forever crucified, as the poet said, ever on the scaffold. Not the man, but the revelation. And they do it to their own destruction. Just like Eve did. Let's look at Hebrews. The second chapter. And in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, took part in it, though he wasn't that. That through death he might bring to nothing him that had the power of death, that is the devil. See? Now then, at the end time, in the Omega, God, who is guaranteed, having come down here with the message and the shout, the voice to raise the dead and the trumpet to take us up, is going to raise the dead and deliver us from death and bring to nothing the power of the enemy. Now, who is doing all this? The Omega Gentiles of the Alpha Jews are the ones that are coming against the truth and the true God. Even as Jesus said in John 8:44-47, you are of your father the devil. The works of your father you will do. And so he said at the end time, Elijah will come to restore. And to be the same group of serpent seed now in the Gentiles, because that's all they are, natural brute beasts to be taken and destroyed. John the Baptist was rejected and denied his place and role in the history of God's people. And then Jesus was rejected next. So to reject the prophet is to reject God. Say what they want. So William Branham wasn't God. Who said he was God? He's not God. He was conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity, like everybody else. Came to the world speaking lies, like everybody else. But to turn down that man at the end time, they'll just stand there and wonder, like a bunch of geese, looking around, or a bunch of turkeys. What are you going to do? John the Baptist was rejected and denied his place and role in the history of God's people, and then Jesus was rejected next. So today, that they're going to deny the very Lord that bought them, the Bible says so. And as there were two seeds back in the Alpha, there are still two seeds of the same origin, makeup, likeness, complexities, in the Omega. Each is a living seed. Now we're going to start reading again. Page 7, it's on 32. Now we find when God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden, we find that it brought forth an Abel. That's exactly right. The seed of God did come through Adam into Eve and brought forth that child, and occurred the conception occurred in the Garden of Eden. But it couldn't stay there. Because of the time element which destroyed the continuity and brought an interruption. Eve should have born from the tree of life Christ. Then through him, having taken precedence as the only begotten, the head one, the chief, which he was and is, No doubt about it. The others could have been born by the flesh. And they would have been just like Mary. No problem. And you'd have had a tremendous civilization standing here, which was of God. But Satan sowed his seed of discrepancy. It brought forth a Cain. One brought forth a righteous one, God. The devil brought forth an unrighteous one. Because that Eve listened to the word of discrepancy, contrary to the word of God. In other words, the word perverted. And it started the ball of sin rolling right there. And it's rolled ever since. It will never get it all out until the angels come. And he uses that term messengers too. And segregates the things, starting with Luther, remember. And God will take his children to the kingdom, the tares will be burned. Notice, their seeds grew together just exactly like God said over here in chapter 13. Of our text of Matthew. Let them grow together. Now Cain went to the land of Nod and found himself a wife and married. And Abel was slain, and God raised up Seth to take his place. And the generation started moving on. Now remember, God said, I've started my generations in you. That was the Son, the only begotten. Then he should have been the one to come on earth in flesh to set up the kingdom, which would be propagated by Adam and Eve, because that was the promise and that was the command. And the generation started moving on between right and wrong. That's Adam and Cain, or call it Seth and Cain. Notice, now we notice they gathered. I think he means the word united there. Each of them after a time, till it got so wicked till God had to destroy it. That's when the sons of God went to the daughters of men. Now, but they finally, now final is an amen. And if it's an amen, it means so let it be. Then if it's so let it be, it's got to be the truth. Because God won't let anything be unless it is the truth. For every plant must be uprooted that the Father hasn't planted. And every word destroyed with his author that's not of God. So, all right, they finally came forth unto both of those seeds that were sown. Now, remember, you're talking about what started in the garden and coming forth in humanity. Finally came forth unto both of those seeds, the seed of discrepancy, that's Cain, by the beast. And the seed of God, which had to come by Adam, put forth their genuine heads and wound up in Judas Iscariot and in Jesus Christ. Now, what does he call Jesus Christ? He calls him the seed. So he's the headship of all seeds. That's why he's on the throne in the New Jerusalem, the pillar of fire above it. Now, that's the Alpha back there. Now, remember the bruised reed he finished off and the smoking flax he finished off, and he turned to the Gentiles. And Israel will never come back to temple worship and the blood of a red heifer and all that kind of stuff, because Jesus himself is going to stand there and say, look at me. You did it. But it's all right. It was meant to be. Now, watch. Judas is carried into Christ. For he, Jesus, was the seed of God. Now watch that terminology. Seed. Right? He was the beginning of the creation of God. He sure was. Without him, nothing was made that was made, God in Christ doing it. He was the beginning of the creation of God. He was nothing less than God. Now, that's Jesus' only language. No, it's not. They didn't understand it. He was not saying that Jesus Christ was God. He said that Jesus was the Son of God, and it came up into headship in Jesus and Judas. And who invaded Jesus? God did. Who invaded, Jesus. I said Jesus, didn't I? Invaded Jesus? God did. Who invaded and took over Judas? The devil did. This was not a Jesus-only statement. Brother Branham cannot legitimately make Jesus-only statements because Jesus-only is a false doctrine. They're being baptized correctly. So I'm baptized correctly. That doesn't mean anything if you brought your doctrine to the light. Your evil to the light. See? Incarnation is being spoken here. And that seed, when matured, had to bear what? The source from which the seed came. Because without a source, there isn't any seed. Right? Absolutely right. Well, let's go to our Bibles. If I can cover this one paragraph here, we're going to call it quits. And then we'll come back and do it all over again. Sort of. We go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. No herb, no seed. The fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Upon the earth, it was so. You can also take pieces of the branch of a tree with the life in it, and you can plant it, and you will get apples, if you have an apple tree. Yeah. But you see, it'll have a fruit, and then there'll be a seed. So there's got to be a source for the seed, which is the conduit of the life to propagate. And have many trees planted by the river of life. Right? All coming from a seed which was given by a source, which is God, through Christ to us. First man God, second man Jesus, third man Adam. You can see spiritual and natural foreknowledge, election, predestination, in this word, and don't you doubt it, though there be one lump. And remember, Brother Branham was hated more than anything in the world because of predestination. And remember, the Catholic Church hates it. If you assuredly say I was predestinated, you are cursed. Ha ha, big joke. Popey old boy, curse all you want. You ain't worth a nickel of anybody's time. They're even going to look at the devil and see him. Goodness me, that wasn't the guy that caused all the trouble, was it? Oh, for heaven's sake. He ain't nothing from nowhere. Like the little fly that causes the apothecary's ointment to stink. That's all it was a stink. He was nothing less than God. Not the seed, but the coming up of the seed. Now the source itself appears in the seed, fully identifying that God is his Father, and the Father dwelleth in him, and the Father and the Son are one, as pertaining to body, but two persons in the one. Oh, that could never be. Then how come you claim you got the Holy Ghost? You know, I just don't understand people. They got to have their way. And Judas Iscariot was born the son of perdition. Came from hell, returned to hell. Oh, come on, Judas Iscariot. Sure. The devil. Bible says the devil entered him. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The Word of God made manifest. What part of the Word of God made manifest? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And all that pertaineth to it. So you don't just have a man, you have the revelation. Judas Iscariot, in his discrepancy, was the seed of the devil, came to the world for deceit. Just like he was at the beginning. Cain, his former ancestor, or meaning his ancestral father. What's going to happen in the end time? Thank God, at the end time, every seed plant my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. And there'll be a glorious bride around the throne in the New Jerusalem. And there'll be the Lamb upon the throne. And there'll be God the Father and a pillar of fire. And before they call, he answers. And Jesus is not ashamed to call his brethren, because we all have one Father. And the others bring their glory in from the outside. It's a wonderful thing that we see ahead of us today. And it's all been vindicated. You're not saying this is going to happen. It's already as good as happened. It's vindicated. Didn't Brother Branham tell you, and God said, let there be light? I don't care if it's 1,000 years from that day. There has to be light. It has to manifest because the seed's been planted. Seed has been planted to restore the Word, the complete Word of God, restore every one of us, renew our minds and our hearts, and get us ready for a rapture, and the dead come out of the ground, we get changed, we all go up. It's a fait accompli. Brother Brand said, you got everything to put you in a rapture, and you're still looking around for something else. Well, I'm waiting for him to come back and shake his hand. Hug him. That's not my light. It's not my lot. Somebody's going to do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of promise and the paragraph we had today, which is a good paragraph. Truly enlightening to see the things that we see and to see the truth, Lord, to really see the seed having come up again, Christ manifest, God manifesting himself now, not through the Son, but doing exactly what he did through the Son for the Gentiles, proving the one and only true living God, and Jesus Christ, who was sent, risen from the dead, and on the Father's throne. And we understand this, Lord, and we're grateful. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll keep illuminating our minds so we don't go off, Lord, from the former doctrines and our fear of what Brother Branham says sounding so much like it isn't exactly 100% with the doctrine that he actually taught. That there is one God and this Son. And that's exactly what Paul taught, and the Bible says. But because of our mixed up background, Lord, we still have our problems. Help us to get over them in the holy name of Jesus Christ, and be bold and strong as of lions, Lord, and be through the eagle of the hour, above it all, waiting for the final send off to the wedding supper. We pray, Lord, you'll bless our people today and heal the sick amongst us. May God be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.